Welcome to the Husker 24/7 podcast. That's some bouncy music, Brunts. This is a bouncy day for Husker football. Chuba Fever, Chuba Purdy is in, and Nebraska now has two portal quarterbacks they've added that are supposed to be here for the spring in Casey Thompson and Chuba Purdy. Pretty big day. I think, you know, the arrows were sort of pointed toward Chuba Purdy, the former Florida State QB, ending up at Nebraska. But what's your initial take, Michael Brunts, on this breaking news?
Yeah, we reserve the Hypecast music for the Hypecast itself, of course, and quarterback commits, and especially off-season transfer portal commits. I feel like we need, like, a sound effect, like an airlock of, like, somebody coming out of a portal, like a or something like that. I don't know. That's the best I can do.
So kind of a swish of a combination of, like, an airy sound and the Minnesota Vikings horn. Like, you got to kind of combine those two things somehow.
With, like, the robot, like a robot voice. Like,
yes.
Welcome from the portal.
That'd be good.
Yeah, it's a big day. So we use the big music, but it's, you know, we did kind of a special one-off podcast whenever Nebraska got Casey Thompson, and Nebraska starts classes tomorrow on Tuesday with a decidedly different looking quarterback room than they had a few weeks ago, which we were just kind of talking about this before we started recording. Certainly the coaching changes are a huge, huge discussion point for this offseason. But the quarterbacks and who they got out of the portal is going to be right up there, in my opinion, because if you're going to make this thing go, and you have to make it go, you need the right guy at that quarterback spot. And what Nebraska has added is they've added a veteran starter in Casey Thompson from Texas. They've added Chuba Purdy, a former four-star recruit who was good in serviceable good in very small doses at Florida State. They kind of had a revolving door at quarterback, and he had some injury issues that he battled. But this is getting kind of that long-term depth and a guy that's got 4 years of eligibility remaining. I think that makes what was already, I think, a pretty effective offseason even more so.
Yeah, and for people wondering, okay, with Chuba Purdy, what didn't happen for him at Florida State? Part of it was the injury situation. He wasn't an early enrollee, I don't believe, there. So he came sort of late into 2020 into their system, and then he got a chance, but he had like a collarbone injury. I believe it was suffered in fall camp in 2020. He managed to play through it and was kind of thrown into a starting role in one of the games, probably not completely healthy, to be honest. He took a hit and that was the end of it. And then he had to have surgery again. And so if you think about it, he's had sort of a disjointed beginning to his college career because of that, to really judge him. You know, he like really never had a full shot to probably enter himself into the QB conversation there. And it feels like his connection with Mark Whipple and the Purdy family's connection with Mark Whipple dates back a while too. And I think that was the key here, because obviously, you know, Oklahoma was in on this one too. He visited Oklahoma just before he came to Nebraska. And so there was kind of this thought, well, it's down to these two teams. And OU's really in the same boat as Nebraska. They're sort of looking for a second portal option to add to their competition. So when you consider that, I think he had the chance to go to Oklahoma and Nebraska won out here. That's a pretty big deal. And it speaks to what Mark Whipple and Scott Frost, how they connected with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think the pre-existing relationship with Mark Whipple is huge here. You know, I think that kind of prior knowledge and knowing somebody, I think, especially for portal guys, is very important as you're kind of trying to lock in a spot. The situations at Oklahoma and Nebraska are kind of interesting, because at Oklahoma, you have a brand new head coach who is already kind of has an OC who kind of has his hand-picked quarterback that they already have and Dylan Gabriel, and they're looking for kind of that long-term option or somebody to come in and compete behind him. Nebraska's kind of in, I wouldn't say as the handpicked guy, they love Casey Thompson, but that job feels a little bit more open to me than what Oklahoma's situation is. And I think that matters, but I think, you know, this is really important to add depth and kind of not be putting all of your eggs into just one basket. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy that I think has an opportunity to really develop a lot. Because I know from talking to people at Florida State, that was even something that came up about him, was through practices, he was the third string guy, but the coaches really liked the progress that he was making as a quarterback in that third string role and coming along as a college quarterback. So there's a lot to like there for Nebraska. I'll throw this back to you though. Nebraska had, they now have five scholarship quarterbacks. What does this mean for the rest of that group that's coming back to classes tomorrow? With two new guys in that room.
I mean, if you're going to be candid, I'm sure if you're Logan Smothers right now, you're thinking, well, this sure got murky in a hurry. I mean, those guys aren't naive. They knew Nebraska was going to get at least one guy, and they maybe thought it would stop there. You know, there was always talk that they might get two guys, but if you're inside that room, you're like, yeah, we'll see about that. And everything has to, the dominoes have to line up just so for that to happen. And they did. And so, yeah, Scott Frost has said since he arrived here that he liked five scholarship quarterbacks in a room. Now, it's hard to keep five. Let's be real here in this day and age. And that's, and people have to kind of accept that as part of this conversation. I think you want to make it a fair fight. Everybody, Logan included, Heinrich Harburg, young guy, raw potential, big arm. I mean, you don't count out guys like that. But let's face it, after the spring, there will be some guys who are probably trying to figure out where do I sit right now? Am I third? Am I fourth? Am I in that, you know, what is my long-term scenario here? The other thing about this is, I think I understand it completely because of Casey Thompson's experience last year at Texas and the fact that he is an older guy, he will be presumed the favorite in dialogue. Like when we talk about, you know, whenever we talk about the QB race, people are going to presume he's the favorite, and that might be true. But I would add to that, if you're a third year guy in college, which Chubba Purdy now is, which Logan Smother is, and you're a competitor, you're thinking it's my turn just as well as it is his. Like, I, at some point, experience is worth so much. Like, I do think there's value that Casey Thompson, like, started a game against Oklahoma and played as well as he did, and he started 10 games and, you know, was really quite good before his thumb injury. That probably gives him the advantage in the public eye. But if I'm the coaches, I want to make this clear to everybody in that room. This is a fight. Like, we want this to be a fight. This is Nebraska. It's supposed to be that way. You got to earn your keep. And there's supposed to be four or five good players here. And you're supposed to show that you're the best one of the bunch. And if you are, you'll get your shot. And so, you know, Chubba Purdy must have liked what he heard on that front as far as what the competition and how open it is, because I wouldn't think he would just say, yeah, I'm raising my hand and going to a place where, you know, this guy's definitely the starter and I'm the backup right off the bat. I don't think he's thinking that at all. So I do think we have to be a little careful to not just assume that somebody's a starter because he's 23 years old and another guy's 20 or 21 years old. At some point, that doesn't matter a lot. So we're going to have a fascinating spring, though. If everybody gets here as they're supposed to, I mean, that's going to be – we've basically gone a few years, if you think about it, where we knew Adrian was going to be the starter. Before that, we've known, like, the last – three times pretty much, like, who the starting quarterback is for multi-years, and we haven't had a lot of great sort of starting QB battles. So this spring, besides the sort of desperation for Nebraska football to turn it around, suddenly has great storylines attached to the quarterback race. And Chubba Purdy, who was 32 pounds when he was 1 year old, which is why he has the nickname Chubba, is now in the fold and has 4 years of eligibility, which is pretty nice.
How much money do you think you could have won from the Purdy family at that point if you would have bet them that they were going to have a quarterback on their hands when he's sitting there at 30-some pounds at 1 year old? You're like,
well, you have more experience on this, Brunts, because you have a couple little ones. What's the average weight of a 1 year old?
I'm sitting there with a 38-pound 3.5 year old.
Wow.
And so I was talking to a couple other father friends the other day about just how you have to be sitting there with a 1 year old that size being like, what have I gotten myself into? And maybe some concern that they're that large as well, but good for him. He ended up being a quarterback and not an offensive tackle. So here's one other thing, I guess, that since we're to that point in the off season, there's still a few more weeks left before National Signing Day, part 2.0. Nebraska picked up a running back commit yesterday, also former Florida State running back. What would be your letter grade for Nebraska's off season in terms of addition of talent through the transfer portal? Because I think a lot of people, when Scott Frost was saying, well, this class is only going to be like 12 people, there was some concern about, well, what the heck is this roster going to look like going into the spring? Since then, you've added two quarterbacks, some talented wide receivers, a former high four-star in Trey Palmer, a couple potential starting offensive linemen, cornerback and Tommy Hill that's going to be in that mix as well. Have you been surprised that Nebraska's kind of been able to get this thing close to the finish line in one piece? Because for a while there, it was looking a little dodgy.
Yeah, it was. I would say I'd give it an A- right now. Call that a homer grade. I don't care. I feel like they've addressed almost all of the needs I would say they needed to, except one. And I bet you could guess what I'm going to say. It's a big defensive lineman, and maybe that's out there. There's definitely stuff swirling in the winds, and there's some interesting targets, including a guy who's down at Miami that, I think Nebraska's been in on. We'll see what happens. But if they could land that, we obviously don't know that these guys are going to have success on the field in the Husker uniform, but I would say on paper, if you go through it, you're like, okay, you wanted to add two QBs. They did that. And the pretty high profile names, they needed to add to their running back room. Whether we're counting this as part of it or not, they add a JUCO addition, probably the top JUCO running back in the country, and Anthony Grant on Sunday, who ran for more than 1700 yards last year. Tommy Hill, as you mentioned, is going to be right in the mix, or at least get his crack at trying to fight for that job that Cam Taylor-Britt left behind previously at Arizona State. And then Trey Palmer is already in deep with Mickey Joseph because he was with him at LSU. So that's a guy who can maybe help your return game as much as anything, but definitely is in the wide receiver conversation. And then
You're forgetting the biggest addition of them all.
Buscini?
Boom, boom, Buscini.
Yeah. Well, he might be.
I know. I'm saying that facetiously, but there's some truth there, I think.
Well, that's why I'd give it an A-. I mean, like, okay, if you're a guy sitting in Boise, Idaho, and you're just like looking at it, you're like, oh yeah, there's a punter and a kicker on there too. But everybody who's watched this program closely knows those could, Bleak Road and Buscini, if they're good, that destroys a lot of angst right there. And they could rise to the top of this class in a hurry. Because of filling out those needs, maybe getting a return man in Palmer, you get your starting QB, maybe you get a starting running back. We'll see. Anthony Grant will have to fight for that. Maybe a starting cornerback. I'd give it an A-. And if they get that D lineman who we're all like, okay, that's big time, then I say it's an A on paper. And then we'll revisit this in a year and see if it was actually an A or a C or a D or something. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't need to be like throwing pitchers around and spilling Kool-Aid everywhere. But I mean, you know, Nebraska had some legitimate concerns at a number of positions. And, you know, to be honest, Brian, I think too, the situation at Nebraska is one reason why I was a little bit skeptical that they were going to be able to get everything done and get everything on their list. I mean, you know, the perception out there is that Nebraska is in a tough spot right now. Hasn't won very many games. They haven't. And, you know, for a guy that has multiple years left of eligibility, I mean, that would probably give me a little bit of pause. You know, I think that they have the special teams ads, I think, are huge. I was slightly skeptical that they were going to be able to get two quarterbacks out of the portal just because of the nature of that position and the portal itself. But, you know, I think that they've done enough to add some intrigue, like you said, going into the spring. I mean, you're going to have a legitimate quarterback battle for the first time. And I don't even know that Adrian Martinez and Tristan Jebbia, I would consider that a true battle, because I think everybody could kind of see where that was headed. But, you know, I think that kind of a competition, I think, adds a little bit to the sense of urgency in a spring practice, because spring can get boring. I mean, that's the truth of it. And when you have your star position up for grabs, I think it kind of raises, you know, the angst level, the anxiety a little bit for everybody. And I think for a program that badly needs to turn things around, I think they need that right now.
I wonder if, you know, everybody here, and especially on our board, our message board, is tired of the word close. You know, they really can't stand it when you talk about Husker sports and Husker football in particular. But I do wonder, when you talk about portal guys, if you're on the outside looking in and you're not in this state and surrounded by just everyday talk about Nebraska football, if that's a little different, like if they could actually use that, even though we make fun of the word and like how, you know, like, okay, close, close, close. But if you're one of these QBs or, you know, any of these guys who have added, you do look at it like, okay, they were in all these games right to the end. And especially if you're like a punter, like Brian Buscini, for example, and you're thinking if I change 7 yards of field position every time I kick it, you know, maybe that's a difference in 3 or 4 wins in those games that are decided by 3 or 4 points. And so I agree with you. There's reasons why I would have pause maybe right now about the situation at Nebraska. But I also wonder if the competitive side and the ego side of some of the guys they're pursuing says, yeah, they are close from the outside looking in, and I can get them over the top. So it's just a different look when you're not like in the forest, you know, like when we're in it every day and we're like, yeah, heard that before. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you're like, okay, yeah, I see it. I could be a difference.
Yeah. It's it has been an interesting few weeks, and in the portal piece of it, I mean, it has kind of, you know, you used to have kind of that lull between the first signing period and the second signing period, and everybody kind of, you know, limped into their junior days and stuff like that. But I mean, it really has been, it's been hot and heavy the last 3 weeks or so. And that's not a bad thing, but I mean, it is the one thing that, you know, I know some people like to crap on the transfer portal, but the one thing it does do is if you're a team like Nebraska who needs an infusion of talent and needs guys that have played college football and are experienced, it really does allow you to flip things quickly if you can find the right guys and, you know, you do enough of your homework about who you're bringing into your program. I mean, Michigan State's a great example of that, you know, if you do it right, it can be done. I mean, there's, you know, certainly on the basketball side, a number of examples where it hasn't worked out well to keep going into the portal. But, you know, this has come about at the right time for a program like Nebraska that really needs some help right now.
Yeah. And yeah, to finish it off, I mean, you can complain like off to the side. I wouldn't care, because I sometimes agree with like, where is college football going with some of this stuff? You know, like, what's it going to look like 5 years from now? If I'm a Husker staffer and I'm having a cold beverage with one of my fellow peers, maybe I say a few things like, I don't know where this is all headed. But publicly, you just have to embrace that this is what the boundaries are right now. This is how the game is being played, and we've got to win at this game and how it's constructed, how college football and the landscape and the portal and all this, how it is set up. Like, you can't waste time or minutes like complaining about it. And I do think, if you've noticed, I feel like there has been a shift in sort of the conversation about it within the program and even how coaches have talked, where there's sort of that understanding, like, it's not worth any time, you know, kibitzing about it. It's time to just like go and attack. And that's what they've done so far. So we'll see how it goes. I give it a high grade for now on paper. And this is a big day for Nebraska football. It's going to make spring pretty interesting. Any final thoughts?
No, I think you hit it. That was a good summation. We worked some Seinfeld references in there.
Yeah. I caught your reference. I liked it, the hot and heavy. Yeah, yeah, and there's others who did too. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think you hit on it well. I think we can wrap it up.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Husker 24/7 podcast. We'll have a ton of coverage, obviously. The news keeps coming. It doesn't stop anymore in college football. So come to the website, Husker247.com, for all the latest.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.